Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Welcome back. Now, this year marks the 100-year anniversary of the establishment of Ireland's modern and independent courts. But for hundreds of years before that, Ireland had its own system of law that was not only progressive, but favourable towards women. Well, Dr. Fionnuala Doyle O'Neill is a broadcaster and legal historian at University College Cork, and she's here to tell us all about the evolution of our justice system right up to the present day. You're very welcome to the programme, Fionnuala. We'll go right back prior to English rule. Ireland had its very own system of law dating from Celtic times called the Brehon Law. Tell us more.
It did indeed. Good morning, Anya. In the 7th century, Ireland had its own indigenous system of law. It started as an oral tradition in the 7th century, and these Brehons, or judges as they were known as, would have been successors of Celtic druids. Now, as you said, it was a very progressive law. They were probably perceived as what we'd see now as modern day arbitrators. They preserved and interpreted the law, and they didn't expand it. So it was progressive in areas such as divorce, a recognised divorce, and equal rights between the genders, and also believed, for example, in criminal law in terms of restitution rather than punishment, which was very, very progressive. So Brehon law remains with us really until about the 17th century, with the flight of the Earls in 1607, who would have been their main patrons. That was deemed the end of the Brehon law. Then, of course, we have Ireland is often referred to as the first experiment or adventure of the common law. So then we have the Anglo-Norman invasion. Strongbow, as he was known as, the Earl of Pembroke, he was sent by Henry II to introduce common law into Ireland. But as we know, then the Normans became more Irish than the Irish themselves, and so it was very difficult to retain this common law. But then the final kind of nail in the coffin, so to speak, and the person who eventually does bring about common law into Ireland would be Henry VIII. That would be about the mid 16th century, and he used a scheme called surrender and regrant, and he regifted back to the famous clans their land so that they would be loyal to him and that they would come in within the feudal system. So I suppose in a way then we just jump forward to the 20th century.
So yeah, bring us from now, Brehon law, we've done English common law and 20th century and 1919 and beyond.
So when we get to the 20th century, then of course, what is really interesting is that, you know, Ireland suffered from, you know, the penal laws, we had Poyning's law, we had a huge sense of oppression. So 1920, under the Government of Ireland Act, then we have our own Parliament, North and South. And eventually with the Anglo-Irish Agreement in December 1921, we have our own free state, so to speak. But we wouldn't get the Court of Justice Act until 1924. Now, what's really interesting, Áine, here is that in between we had what was called the Republican or the Dáil Courts. And these courts were kind of a counter legal system against the British. And they had a very similar system to what we have now. They had district courts and they had supreme courts. But they had a very interesting area called the parish court. And here women were allowed to be judges for the first time. And people who took the opportunity to do this would be people like Kathleen Clark, wife of the executed leader Thomas Clark, literary revivalist Maud Gonne, and also former suffragist Hannah Shee Skeffington. And they were very aware that women were being excluded from the justice system.
And at the time, they had no legal training, and it would take until, was it 1964 when Eileen Kennedy became the state's first female judge?
Precisely. So I'm currently writing a book on the history of the female judiciary in Ireland with Claris Press. This is what I found fascinating. Ireland's first female judge in 1964 was Eileen Kennedy. And she would go on to take the name of the Kennedy Report, where she was chair of it. And it was a searing report on the institutional reform schools in Ireland and was a precursor to the Ryan report. But what is interesting is that she was considered to be kind of an oddity, the fact that she was a woman and she operated out of the children's court in the Dublin metropolitan area. And people would go in to see her in her gown. Now, she didn't wear the wig at the time because it was too intimidating. So, you know, Hannah Sheen Skeffington once said that we'd have to wait 60 years to get our first, as I said, judge. But we wouldn't get our first High Court judge then until Carol Mella Carl in 1980. And so my book explores how these women made legal first. We'll have our first High Court judge. Susan Denham will be the first female Chief Justice. We have Siafra O'Leary, who became the first female president of the European Court of Justice. So it's really interesting, and I've been very fortunate that so many judges have been so forthcoming and so willing to help me with my research. And it's sort of a fascinating area. But I suppose we've been very fortunate that, again, a very interesting point to make today is that this year marks the fact that we have, it's not only 100 years of the court system in Ireland, but we now can celebrate the fact that we've had 10 women in the Supreme Court. Now, to many listeners, that mightn't seem an awful lot, but in comparison to the USA, which is a much longer legal system than ours, they've only had 6 women in the Supreme Court, and in Britain, only 2.
And take us up, you talked 1980s, but go back a little bit and briefly, 1973 with the European Economic Community, that introduced new, very important equality legislation. What did that mean at the time in Ireland where women were denied work because of the marriage bar?
Absolutely. And as you know, the marriage bar did take women out of the workplace. But a very interesting thing happened when we joined the what was known as the European Economic Community at the time. Ireland had to step up. We did have activism and feminism, but it really wasn't enough. So we had to bring in equality laws, as you said. And similarly, in terms of our, remember, we had a constitution as well in 1937. So now we were discovering that EU law would take precedence over our constitution unless there was a clash. That meant that we now had to look towards Europe for guidance in terms of our law. But simultaneously, we maintain some very interesting cases. Very interesting case, for example, in 1972, the McGee case. This young woman was told that if she had any more children, she had 4 children under 4, that she would perhaps die in childbirth. So she imported a diaphragm, a form of contraception. And ironically, contraception was legal in Ireland, but under the 1935 Act, the Criminal Amendment Act, you weren't allowed to import it, advertise it, but you could actually use it. So she was brought into court, lost her case and went to the Supreme Court. And remember, she was facing a whole cohort of men here. And they eventually decided that obviously judges can't create law. They can only interpret it. So they decided that it was an incursion, that it was an intrusion into her marital privacy and that she was allowed to, conduct her marriage in any way that she wanted to.
An important moment. And we know a lot followed from that with the Norris judgment. We'll have to have you back another day, Dr. Fionnuala Doyle O'Neill. And I know that book is available next year and you'll come back to talk to us about how we're the only common law country apart from Malta and what next for Ireland. But that was broadcast and legal historian with University College Cork, Dr. Fionnuala Doyle O'Neill. Thank you for that.